Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Guys, what are we going to do about the latest Aaron Rodgers situation? Which, Waz, I know you've been trying to stay away from RFK Jr.'s political career so far. There's only so much you can consume without, I'm sure, going absolutely insane. But we find out that Aaron Rodgers is on his short list of running mates as an independent presidential ticket for this coming November's election. It's either him or Jesse Ventura. I wish that was a bit, but I'm pretty sure it's not. So, look, I can't be naive about this stuff. We're not in an age anymore where you have presidential candidates who are potentially presidential. But Waz, what the fuck? Like, what do we do?
It's funny. Like, on the surface of it, it makes absolutely no sense because Aaron Rodgers is still a viable NFL quarterback, which is one of the most prestigious things you could do in sports in our country. And on the flip side, there's RFK's independent campaign, which has absolutely no chance of doing anything, like nothing. But
he can't nader this thing?
Aaron Rodgers likes attention, and he would get attention from this. Sure does, he's an attention whore.
Yeah.
Okay, and so that's where I can see it, like, feeding his ego. He loves being in front of a microphone. Like, so this actually does serve a lot of Aaron Rodgers' vanities. So it makes sense that he would do something this completely stupid.
Is RFK, like, basically Conor Roy?
Kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
Because like, just the idea of like, you know what? I want you on my presidential ticket. Like, what about Aaron Rodgers? Like, you would think that you try to run for president sincerely, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You'd want to surround yourself with people who know what they're talking about.
Oh, you don't watch the Pat McAfee show?
I'm just saying, like, let's just assume Aaron Rodgers is brilliant, but he doesn't know shit about government. Like, you don't want another.
He knows about the plandemic. He knows about...
That's not going to help you run a country.
The right? plan.
I don't know these days. This is the thing. I don't know these days. I don't... Like, there is... The qualifications are out the window. We could do it.
I'll say this. The only thing that's smart about it is that you do need media coverage. You do need to somehow get the word out about your freaking campaign for people to even be aware that you exist as a candidate. And Aaron Rodgers is a very famous person, and he would get them free media coverage.
Then what? Jesse Ventura a candidate then?
Well, because he's the experience option.
Oh, I got it. You
know what I'm saying?
So he's weighing.
Yeah.
He's
weighing. The yin and the yang.
He unfortunately, the late, great Carl Weathers passed, and Arnold is not born in this country, so he can't be president. So Jesse Ventura is next up on the Predator call sheet. So that's why that's where RFK is going. Yeah. And then if he can't is Bill Duke still alive?
Bill Duke's still alive, man. So we
I don't know if that's true.
May says the Predator. That's the next on the call.
I'd vote for the Predator too. I mean,
I thought Amin was calling Bill Duke the Predator, like making fun of his looks.
What's RFK Jr.'s platform?
Well, we know he's obviously anti, whatchamacallit, vax.
Yeah.
Oh, I was say.
And I thought he was anti-war, but then he went with the, like, he's on the whole, like, Israel should be bombing the hell out of whoever they want, whenever they want.
I admire you, Waz, for actually knowing what this dude's politics
is. I watched one interview. I did. I watched one, and it just, like, I'm like, why does this guy get any attention? It's just his name. Literally. Yeah.
Yep. It's just that there's a Kennedy at the end.
If his name was RFJ
right.
Jr., like, who would give a shit?
Yeah. Like, this isn't a Ross Perot or Nader or, like, these guys, like, had legitimate sort of gripes with the quote-unquote the political duopoly.
The status quo.
Yeah. Like, that's not RFK, dude, at all.
How much do we think Cheryl David swings this in terms
of married
getting,
to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, son.
why does nobody know? Is this a Two Americas thing? Neither of you knew this.
I had no idea, dude. Like, this is literally the first time I'm hearing
this. Amin looks like he just found out Carl Weathers died. Like, this is...
I love Cheryl, man.
You know what's so funny? People are always more disappointed when they find out women are kooks. It's almost like we expect more of women, right? Like,
they're supposed to be the level-headed ones when it comes to this stuff, right?
Like Adam Sandler and Vince Vaughn being like sicko right-wingers in their personal lives doesn't really do anything for me or surprise me.
Right.
But Cheryl Hines being a crank, that legitimately shocks me.
Waz, another version of this is, I don't mind when white people talk black, when white dudes talk black. I'm like, oh, that's just white Mike, man. He's just him being him. But when a white girl talks black, it is so goddamn annoying to me. I saw this video of this girl.
Now, what do you mean talk black? I don't understand.
So I saw this video of this girl who I believe is from Toronto based on the way she was talking.
Oh, yes. Yes. I saw that this morning, too.
And it enraged me in a way that if she was a white dude, I would just be like, that's just...
It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know why, man. It's one of those weird sexism things where we just expect women to be better. And we give men the excuse of being pieces of shit.
You're only allowed to do this shit when it's like whatever's in retrograde, right? Like, otherwise, you got to be the sane ones in this. So, do we know who Trump's picking as the running mate? Is it Nikki Haley or is it...
No, Nikki Haley.
It ain't going to be Nikki after what she said,
everyone always gives in.
Just the
I'm
fact
not buying
that she
that.
Ran this campaign against him, I think he's like done with her.
I think she might have had a chance, but that concession speech was blah, blah, blah. Like he's not coming back from that one. Her concession speech is basically like, yo, just because I'm Republican don't mean I'm voting for this motherfucker.
That's basically what she said. Fast forward 5 months and she's going to be supporting him.
No. Yeah, she might be, but he's not going to, he doesn't forgive in that way. Like,
that's true.
I heard it's Marco Rubio, J.D. Vance, and the lady that they had do the, I didn't hear, I think it's Politico or Axios, one of them, you know, insider type of shits. Like, basically, like, Politico and Axios have a bunch of Adam Schefter, Woj type media reporters. And their whole thing is that it's Rubio, J.D. Vance, and the chick that did the State of the Union rebuttal.
Into
the mic.
In her very relatable kitchen. That has a $10,000 refrigerator in there.
Although, think about it, Zach. She did like galaxy brain 4D chess and shit. No one can tell her to go back to the kitchen. already there. She's already in the kitchen.
Welcome to the Zazni edition of the OG Pod.
Breathier, you have to say it. Okay, breathier. All right.
Welcome to the Zazni edition of the OG Pod. I'm Zach Harper. That's Boss. And that's Mino Hassan, not born in this country.
Put that out.
I figured I had to do that. Well, I just figured if I'm going to be her, I got to do that. guys, we could move away from, well, I don't know if we move away from politics here. Isaiah Thomas went on the Draymond Green Show podcast and said some absolutely wild stuff. So we're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss Anthony Edwards torching the Clippers. We're going to discuss Michael Finley talking about Luka cooking Grant Williams in a practice.
We don't know that it was Grant Williams because Michael Finley said, I'm not going to name names,
but it was Grant Williams. We'll take that to the spin alley, our new segment.
That you know what that reminded me of, by the way? The one of Kanye's many sicko interviews where he's like, these doctors of an ethnicity.
I'm not going to say what it is.
And I'm not allowed to say it. I'm not going to say it. They were Jewish.
And then for the Patreon segment, patreon.com/countthedings, you get access to not just this show's extras, but the extras of every show on the Count the Dings Network. We will discuss, of course, Big Baby Davis, porn director. But we'll start off with Isaiah Thomas.
I used to love that job.
This is him on the Draymond Green Show. I'll just say, maybe not telling the truth. This is what Zeke had to say.
Michael Jordan's last All-Star game, I coached his last All-Star game. Vince Carter had won the starting spot. I took Vince Carter aside, and I convinced him to give his spot to Michael Jordan. I never knew this dude felt the way he felt until the last dance.
Wow, really?
I'm like, all these years, you've been standing behind a tree throwing stones and letting somebody else take the fall for it. Had I known you felt that way, I definitely would have treated you differently. Hey, I only know how people are with me when they treat me. Now, some people will say, well, why didn't you shake his hand? The champions, they always left the court. And then they would come into your locker room after the game and shake your hand and say congratulations. That's how it goes. Chicago, they're the only champion that still cries about somebody not shaking their hand.
First and foremost, there's not a chance in hell I believe that he had no idea Michael Jordan didn't like him.
Come on.
Yeah, that one stretched. That's one stretched.
And didn't find out until the last dance.
Until 2020.
Until 2020.
this dude hated him until for 30 pandemic. Years.
30 years. Pandemic 2020. No idea. Yeah. He's just watching and like, wait a second. Mike doesn't like me? He had problems with me? I never knew.
Which is funny because in the last dance, he talks about having problems with him. Like, so,
yeah.
Like in the interview, he was intimating that they had issues. So
when he didn't make the dream team, he was just what?
Mike kept him off the dream team, but there's that whole thing of like, I met the criteria.
But it was anyway. I just like the idea that it was, you know, like Isaiah was so, you know, in the dark about the hate that he himself personally convinced Vince Carter. We know damn well Vince Carter and it probably wasn't a two-person decision. It was like, yo, guys, it's Mike. It's his last game.
The entire league was pressured. Like, this wasn't like Isaiah going, this is insane. Like, you know, I got an idea, Vince.
Also, given the Carolina connection between the two of them. Right. Like, I kind of feel like that might have been more of a one-to-one conversation, or at the very least, like, yo, Bill Guthridge, could you call him up and tell him, you know, Dean Smith, are you still alive? Yeah, if you are, go ahead and call him up and let him know or whatever.
Weird phone call. Even, hey, are you still alive? If you are, please call him.
Because then what happens is it's a voicemail, and then like Mrs. Smith is like, hello, I'm sorry, Michael. He's passed away several years now.
It's Dean Smith's wife from Germany?
No, she's just very old.
Oh, that's an old voice. Okay. That's
yes. Do you think people from Germany talk like this, Zachary?
She's from Austria, Zach.
Also,
Yeah, coach.
Draymond's.
Yeah, that's my favorite part of that clip.
Actively, yeah, that's the best part of the clip. Like, I don't care about the lies that Isaiah is telling here, but Draymond, like, wow, really?
Wow.
Like, very Charlie Kelly.
Draymond is not the NBA's best actor. I think we can all agree on that.
Let me ask, because I didn't watch or listen to the full episode. I've just seen that clip. When he talks about the Bulls, like, walking off the court, not shaking hands, because the champions would always then go to the locker room, right? I know Draymond is the new media and he does things differently. Did he have a follow-up question of, so you went to the locker room and shook their hands?
So, to be clear, what Isaiah's talking about, I don't know about, like, the champions always, I don't know about that. What he's talking about specifically, though, is in 87, when the Celtics beat them,
yeah.
Or excuse me, in 88, when they beat the Celtics walked off the floor without saying what's up. And then they went in the locker room and congratulated them afterward, meaning, like, Bird and those guys came into the Pistons locker room and said, hey, man, congratulations. But at the moment, they walked off with time left on the clock, which was really the crux of Isaiah's argument all along, is like, why are y'all acting like we're the only ones who did this? When Larry Bird did that shit, nobody said shit, which is a pretty strong counter argument.
Sure.
Now, turning it into, this is like the tradition, like, I can neither confirm nor deny that.
But also, would we have heard then that the Pistons went into the Chicago locker room and, like, congratulated them?
There was animosity between the Celtics and Pistons. Them,
hated each other. They fought all the time, right? Them. The Bulls and Pistons hated each other. But if you're telling me this is tradition, this is what champions do, I have to assume then that you kept the tradition going, went to the Chicago locker room.
They
we never heard about it.
They were probably all chasing the same five chicks in the Midwest. You know, like, we know what the hate is about. Come on now. Stop it. Stop it. That's all these dudes hate each other for.
If you can believe one lie out of those three, the this is tradition of what champions do, I told Vince to step out of the starting lineup, or I didn't know about this hatred until the last dance.
Damn,
which one do you most believable to least believable?
The one that's most plausible is, like, it's plausible that Zeke's conception of what champions did at that time was what he's saying. Not that it was the actual, you know how what everybody did, in the NBA knows, you can't take a layup, you know, when you have the ball, even though the shot clock's about to expire and you're about to win the game. Everybody knows that rule. I think Zeke is just saying, well, if the Celtics did it, they must have been following some championship protocol. I could believe that he thought that to be the case. It's the most plausible of, no, Zeke, it was not you that had to sit down with Vince Carter and convince him. No,
see, I'm going opposite on this. I'm going number one is he probably did have a conversation with Vince, a conversation that was not needed because Vince already like, yeah, duh, I'm doing it. But he probably did, like, on the record, sat down, right? Guys, I sat down with
Vince. This is like the whole, like, I believe Draymond told Adam Silver, I'm going to retire. And then Adam said, but I don't believe he was going to retire, right? So, like, it's technically true,
So I think that's one. Two is, this is what champions do. There's just no, like,
there's least not a chance fucking chance that he didn't know Mike didn't like him for 30 years. Until the last dance came out. There's no fucking way.
That's a wild one. That's a wild one for real.
It just doesn't make doesn't make any sense. Speaking of Mike and Zeke, this is a clip from the same show, the same Draymond Green podcast. He's demanding an international apology.
Where is y'all relationship at today? And is that salvageable?
Dude, no.
Not salvageable.
No. This dude got on national television, international television, and called me an asshole. Somebody who's been really good to him. And until he apologizes on international television, we ain't no conversation. You can't apologize and have a private dinner when you didn't embarrass me publicly. If you didn't mean it, say it publicly. Now, if you meant it, let it stand. I'm good with that.
So he thinks Netflix is international television, right? That's,
I mean,
what
I
does get, that mean?
You get, no, you get the gist. The gist is like, this wasn't something that was only local and people in France don't know about it.
He's everybody it all over like the world knows about it. State of the World address that was on live TV. I mean,
it
kind of
was. It was during the pandemic and everybody has Netflix. I mean, I get what he's saying, man.
Yeah. It is don't an get caught international up in platform. You would agree with that though, right, Zach?
Yeah, they don't all have the same content, but whatever, we're getting bogged down here. Like, it's fine.
They watched it.
I do love the idea of like, I need an international apology. That's what I'm going to start. I'm going to start demanding that of people. Like, nah, man, that ain't good enough. I need an international apology.
You've seen on the internet, people tweet shit like, the apology got to be as loud as the disrespect.
Oh, my God.
I've heard people say that like 10 trillion times before.
My favorite version of that was when Trae Young received 4 votes for Rookie of the Year. And then next year, he was asked about, going into next season, he was asked about those 4 votes. Like, oh, you only got 4 of the 100 votes for Rookie of the Year. He goes, yeah, I need to, like, I'm making it my mission to prove those 4 voters right. It's like, that's not how Rookie of the Year works.
But also, Zach, thank you for reminding me of a time where my Twitter was routinely people after Trae Young would have a big game. Oh, I thought you said Luka was better.
Yeah.
It's just like, dude, it was like, on draft day.
That's still happening though, right? I mean, you're still getting those tweets.
No, so, you know, oddly enough, they've stopped.
Are they on Threads now? Maybe they're on Threads now. You should check.
No,
that.
They're not on Threads. Yeah. They're not on Pinterest. They're not on on Tubi. They're nowhere, right? I don't know why they would be on Tubi, but
I got this apology for you.
Nah, that's Pluto. That's Pluto.
That's right,
TV.
That's Pluto. Yeah.
Don't get that confused, man. Nah, man, it's funny. It's look, he's got. I understand what he's saying again, Isaiah. But again, also, he's like, this guy called me an asshole. Like, Isaiah, aren't you an asshole? I'm an Isaiah apologist. I am this dude has helped me in my career and stuff like that. I'm definitely pro. If you tell me pro Isaiah or Michael, I'm picking Isaiah because I don't know. Michael's been an asshole too. But no one seems to have a problem with it. But like Zeke is. Respectfully, like it's just like one of us. Someone say, you know, Watts is an asshole. I'm like, well, yeah, but like that's why I like him. You know
but he's great.
Like,
but it's a fun. Yeah.
So Zeke is assholeish as he is. He is pretty charming because he super does
charming. Incredibly charming.
That also, smile.
Zeke, if you want to send some of that Sherlon champagne our way, you know, out the dings.
What's the name of champagne?
Sherlon. I said it on the air for him, and he was like, great pronunciation. I'm like, I know, man.
Was that 11th grade French? What was that say?
Well, I was honors French from freshman year through senior year of high school. Yeah.
Honors.
Shout out to Madame Pozar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What a coincidence. You're a Pozar as well. That must be related.
She was a tough Romanian lady. Oh, my God. What? She was so scary. So crazy.
Teaching French?
Yeah. Yeah, she knew like 10 languages.
Okay.
Shout out to Madame Pozar.
Secondhand French is what you learn.
Pretty much, yeah. This is, I don't like Zeke running away from being an asshole. You are an asshole. But he's charming. You kind of just let it go. This is a quote from Isaiah. My earliest experience with champagne was having it poured over my head. It wasn't until after I retired from playing ball that I discovered I love drinking it.
I love drinking it. Hey, man, I love drinking it as well.
Yeah.
Can't say that during Ramadan, but hey, I had it. All-Star Weekend 2020. Shout out to Retired Players Association.
All right. This is one more clip. Isaiah
Zeke
saying
never
that,
tasted champagne until he won a championship, is what he's saying.
That's pretty. No, he said he never tasted it until after. Like, after. All it was for him was just something they put over you.
Oh, okay. Got
you. Yeah. That's, I mean, that's, it's supposed to be like a bar, basically, you know?
Yeah.
They drink this too? Oh, I don't know. All I know, bro,
I just had it poured on me. Because I win so much.
I thought it was just a shower. I didn't know. Isaiah also said that the Warriors got bailed out by Kevin Durant.
Okay. Yeah. This is where I draw the line.
Now
he's gone too far.
Let me make a bold statement here.
Yes, sir.
And I hope this don't upset you. Before Kevin Durant arrived in Golden State, y'all were on the verge of and being remembered as the team that went 73-9 and lost to a Cleveland Cavalier team in the finals. You up 3-1. And probably one of the biggest collapse in NBA finals history. Kevin Durant comes that summer and really saves y'all basketball legacy. You win two championships after that. The Golden State Warriors dynasty that you're going to go into the Hall of Fame on and everything
else. Look at Draymond's face.
It is cemented because if Durant don't come that summer and you guys are remembered as the 73-9 team, all of your legacies
tactical redundancy
are different.
Yo, this guy
Draymond wanted to choke the like.
Yeah. No,
this guy Zeke is insane, dude.
I love you guys are on the verge of a decline. It's like they went 73-9 and we're way away. I think they were going to be all right.
Oh my God. I just love it's just the typical old dude barbershop hate and venom. It's just good old hate. He knows what he's saying is like probably not true, but he's like, while I got Draymond on the phone, let me just wind his ass up.
He's a little bit more salty.
By the way,
that's why Jordan hated his ass.
Who do they play? Who do they
demonstrate why people hated his ass?
Who do they play tonight? I got to see who Draymond's going to choke.
That's also, by the way, that's also the Isaiah power move, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of like, thanks for having me on your podcast, but you know what, little nigga, you know y'all wouldn't be shit with that. Like that's him like reaffirming, hey, like you guys had to bring that guy in to win multiples. We did it on our own, uphill both ways, no shoes, in the snow, all that.
Right.
All right, let's move on. I want to go to this Michael Finley quote about someone in practice that Luka Doncic was cooking one day. So this is courtesy of 105.3 The Fan. He said, quote, one day in practice, a player on our team, I won't call his name out, but it was Grant Williams. He decided he wanted to get under Luka's skin. He felt that Luka didn't come that day ready to practice. So to make a long story short, they had a scrimmage going and he's talking trash to Luka up and down the court. So finally, Luka says, okay. And I'll tell you, Luka went on a 26-6 run by himself. You can ask anybody. I'm not exaggerating. It was like a 26-6 run by himself. He showed everything, the threes, the post-up, the floaters, everything by himself.
Am I going to go out on a limb here and say he kind of made Luka into the bad guy of the story?
Yeah.
Because Grant Williams is like, hey, man, this dude just floating around bullshitting in practice.
Mm-hmm.
So Luka responds like, oh, you want me to practice hard? Okay, I'll practice hard. And then busts his ass also by being a complete ball hog. Like everything about this is like.
So it was a game. So it was a game scenario. Him just having the ball.
Yeah. Pretty much. Here's the thing about Grant Williams. Like, I don't want to make it seem like I'm like, yeah, Grant Williams did the right thing. Like, I know he meant well, but also you gotta, like, you're the new guy. And it's not like you came with a championship ring. So we interviewed Rajon Rondo today on Levitard, and Rondo, we were talking about like who are the biggest shit talkers on that team. Yeah. And one of his top five was James Posey. Cause he's like, James Posey came in with the ring from Miami and was like, just and talking shut the fuck up, y'all. Y'all don't know shit about this. But he could do that because he had the ring. He's like, you guys don't know shit about winning a championship. So it's like, if Grant Williams had a ring, I think he could be that kind of adjutant, confrontational guy in practice to bring up the energy. But you just some dude who got worked in the finals by the Warriors to the point where your coach wouldn't even play you, and then got worked in the playoffs against the Heat to the point where your coach wouldn't even play you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't come in and challenge the best player in that way without having a relationship with him, which I don't get the feeling that he built.
Well, let's take this to a new segment called Spin Alley.
Oh,
Spin Alley. Amin and I invented this on NBA on radio this past Sunday. And it's a lot like Spin Zone. It's a lot like political stuff, right? The president will deliver a speech, and now he's got all these lobbyists and representatives and everything.
The surrogates.
There to explain the message of what, you know, have a negative thing, they'll explain why it was good, right? Like they're ready to spin this thing. So, Waz, you want to take the position of spinning for Grant Williams?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Amin had some good points, but I have some others. And
I'll flip it. I'll do Luka.
All right. Yeah. There we go.
Because if you're Grant Williams and you're rightfully pointing out that this guy who routinely comes into camp out of shape, playing in the regular season out of shape, is not taking practice seriously enough. He's being treated like a boy prince, obviously, within that organization, and people sucking him off because he lost 2 7-game series to the goddamn Clippers. That's his claim to fame. And then I'll point out that the last really good role player that was in there, Kristaps Porzingis, has left and played the two best seasons of his life post Luka Doncic. And so what that story says to me is that here's a guy who's smelling his own farts, doesn't take his job seriously enough. And the fact that it takes the likes of Grant Williams to rile him up at all is all the problem you need to know. And guys don't love playing with Luka.
Well,
and so I'm a Grant Williams guy here.
This sounds a lot like you're not a Grant Williams guy as much as you're an anti-Luka guy.
Hold on. One last thing. Rick Carlisle went back to goddamn Indiana voluntarily because he was sick of dealing with the boy genius, the boy prince, you know, Jofre Doncic. And so, yeah, man, Grant Williams got to get some respect for even stepping up to the plate of taking his job seriously.
So, Waz, I need to know, like, is Grant Williams, it sounds like it could just be anybody here. Like, Grant Williams, there's nothing special about what he did, and they sent him out of town, you know, shortly after this. So this just seems like an anti-Luka thing.
Grant Williams is indicative of what happens when people challenge the authority of the dictator of Dallas, you know, Luka Doncic. And so Grant Williams is one of the rare people that stood up for himself against the Luka Doncic. He didn't back down, just lay down and let this guy be the freaking Kim Jong-un.
Oh,
of the DFW. Come on now.
It's very heavy.
Kim Jong-un, the baby king? I don't remember which one is which. I always get the names fucked up. Sorry, y'all.
Korean politics aside, I mean, what is, what? I mean, Luka Doncic can't stand for this.
So, okay, hold on. Just give me a second. I have to Google Grant Williams. I'm looking for him. Who is
Tennessee
he again?
Tennessee University.
Oh, there you go.
He killed at the Chicago pre-draft combine, in 2019. Don't act like you forgot about that.
22nd overall pick. Okay, I'm looking for all rookie. No. Rookie of the year. No. All-star. No. All-NBA. No. MVP running? No. Also MVP. No. That has been also. Okay. So, all right. I feel pretty comfortable saying this. Who the fuck is this guy? Who is he to call out the future of the NBA, Luka Doncic? Guess what? I have some rebuttals to what Mr. Lambrey said.
Yeah.
Kristaps Porzingis went and had the best years of his career. You know why? Because Luka taught him who he was. This dude was walking around thinking he was an all-NBA, like, big-time superstar. But Luka Doncic realized, oh, I just need to be like a butler to some actual great players because I see what greatness is, and I can't process it anymore. Rick Carlisle, he was soft. He couldn't handle it. Rick Carlisle's a dictator. Ask Rajon Rondo. Ask Jason Kidd. Ask every great point guard that played for Rick Carlisle. This guy was a dictator. You know what? Who broke his reign of terror? That's right. Luka Doncic. You're welcome. This guy has done nothing but put this franchise and, dare I say, the entire state of Texas on his back. He is one of the most popular players in the world. He's a winner, proven winner, overseas at Barcelona, overseas playing for Slovenia. And the only thing stopping him from being a winner here is bullshit-ass teammates like Grant Williams, who don't understand that, hey, when I got to carry everything, every single game, you know, guess what? When I do practice, maybe I want to take a little easy. Maybe I need to rest reserves of my energy cells so I can carry your bum ass again tomorrow night.
That's not what we did in the 90s with Michael Jordan.
Just ask Zeke. I mean, what about the accusations regarding Luka that he's only gone as far as Trae Young's gone in the playoffs? You know, both have made a conference finals.
Yeah. No, you know what? That's very fair. You know where Luka would be if they flip-flop? If Luka was playing for the Hawks and Trae Young was playing for the Mavs? Trae Young was playing for the Mavs. They wouldn't even have made the playoffs, right? In the Western Conference. If Luka was playing for the Hawks, three-time champ. Drain the swamp.
Wait. I don't know if we're training any swamp.
Wait, who's the swamp figures in Atlanta? I'm confused.
No, the swamp is the Eastern Conference. All this corruption and backhanded stuff. Real competition exists out west. In the East, it's just like, well, we want like Boston and I guess let's have Miami make it a little run every once in a while. But they're not really playing basketball out there. In the West, it's cutthroat. This guy was forged in the fires of the Western Conference. Dodge, duck, dive every 5 seconds from all these threats around him.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you one, have proclaimed yourself the mayor of Heat Island. And yet it sounds like you're saying they got through the East due to corruption.
Well, this is, after all, Spin Alley. I am representing, I'm a surrogate for Luka Doncic. Tomorrow, my services might be called somewhere else, and then I'll have different arguments.
That's fair. That is Spin Alley right here with the Luka Doncic Grant Williams beef. We've got this clip from Anthony Edwards. The Wolves were down 22 last night in LA. Kawhi leaves after the first quarter. Leaves the arena by halftime with a thoracic spasm, another fancy way of saying he had a back spasm. And the Wolves ended up winning by 18.
Thoracic 40 point. Antetokounmpo.
This motherfucker has a podcast.
Oh, man.
Did you
Thoralysis.
Know that?
Wait. Zach, what else do you have him doing with his spare time? Becoming a better basketball player?
Finalysis.
This is one of the few. It's called Finalysis. This is one of the few times. Oh, by the way, special guest Giannis this week. This is one of the few times.
How'd he get that? That's a crazy big get.
He threatened to tell mom on him. This is one of the few times like, but normal people are like, shouldn't you be in the gym working? I'm like, these guys get downtime. They got to reset and everything. And this is the one of the few times I'm like, Thanasis, you should probably be in the gym. Like, you should not, like, all your free time should be in the gym.
I think it's the opposite. I think all the people are like, this guy should be in the gym. Look at Thanasis, like, that can't help you. You know what? Maybe the podcast.
Yeah, his game can't be helped by hard work and dedication.
A 40-point turnaround in that game, and Ant talked afterwards about torching the Clippers is what he had to say.
What a game this was. You exploded in that third quarter. What were you seeing out there?
Just a bunch of mismatches. Yeah, pretty much.
Care to elaborate?
I mean, you know, their best defender is Kawhi. Kawhi went down, and, you know, they was just putting two on me and trying stuff. So, and I hit one shot, and I just got going.
Edwards. Forces a turnover. Edwards drives.
What I love about these highlights of when he's on a fast break, like a 2-on-1, he'll never give it up. He never like hits the big man running or anything. He's like, lamb.
Edwards, the Georgia Bulldog. And it looked like they were staring
three two on him. Hit a jumper.
He's right. Yeah. 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 He's still playing. Is Anthony Edwards
with Denver?
And he was feeling it. He had 37 in the game.
Anthony Edwards,
not like his daddy.
Edwards, clutch. One. No, Edwards.
That's a putback with two guys around. Yeah, there's two on him the whole time.
We feel like this was a statement game. We was down 21. I mean, regardless of who they 22, regardless of who they lose. I think my team came out the second half and put on a show, and I'm super proud of my teammates.
What I love is the shit-eating grin he does. He delivers the first one.
I love the leans. The leans when he starts to get the first answer, like just sassy as fuck. Yeah, saw a bunch of mismatches. I don't know.
By the way, this is followed by early on in the season. I think it was the first time they played him. And Ant was drawn. This was well documented by my guy John Krasinski that he was drawn with these guys, saying these motherfuckers is old.
Yeah,
they old as shit. They can't do shit. They old as fuck. And so yeah, he's clearly got something going on with the Clippers. And this is just a continuation of that. But I love that he embraces this kind of shit. The next time the Clippers see him, they gonna have to sack up and play with some pride. You feel me? I love that. We need more of this in the NBA, not less.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm here for it, right? Like, he caught a lot of shit over talking about, like, it's the All-Star game, we're not going to go hard or whatever, but he does do all this in the regular season.
My mind went to a completely different place when you say he caught a lot of shit for him, like, that Instagram Live.
Oh, well.
We forgot about
Instagram
that.
Instagram Live, the abortion. DMs.
Oh, the abortion text.
Yeah, that was good.
She didn't get rid of it, did she? She's like,
who knows?
I think he had the baby. He missed a game.
No, so Anthony Edwards' girlfriend had a baby. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a different baby.
His girlfriend, must be said, this is just deep reporting by me and my sources out in ATL, former Follies employee.
Oh, nice.
This is a fact.
Counting?
No, she was a performer. She was talent. She was not accounting. Talent. She did not work in the HR department of Follies. No, she was talent.
I had her with one of those green visors.
Oh,
like,
yeah, green like, visor, cranking that calculator. Yeah, that adding machine.
They're skimming off of the till over there at the bartender.
you care about Follies, don't you?
Yeah. It's management material.
All right, we're going to head on over to the Patreon, patreon.com/countthedings, to discuss Big Baby Davis, porn director.